Our gospel lessons today are from Matthew 6, 19 to 21, and 19, 16 to 29. Hear these words of the Lord for you today. Jesus said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Then someone came to Jesus and said, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments." The man said, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not murder, not commit adultery, not steal, not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "I have kept all these. What do I lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you wish to be perfect, go and sell your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." When the young man heard this word, he went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I tell you, it will be hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astounded and said, "Who can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but for God all things are possible." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, upon the meditations of my mouth and of our hearts. We ask you to be with us, Lord, in this time and place, we pray. Amen. Most of us don't consider ourselves rich, right? And yet, we live in the wealthiest place on the planet. In fact, Americans are literally the wealthiest people on the planet, even those who are struggling. Did you know that America controls nearly 20% of the world's wealth, but with less than 5% of its population? 1 billion people in the world do not have access to clean water, but the average American uses 400 to 600 liters of water a day. Every 7 seconds somewhere in the world, a child under age 5 dies of hunger, and Americans throw away about 14% of the food we purchase. Nearly 1 billion people in the world live on less than one American dollar a day. The average American teenager spends nearly $150 a week. 40% of people in the world lack basic sanitation, while 49 million diapers are thrown away in America every day. 1.6 billion in the world have no electricity. Nearly 100 million children do not have basic education. By far, most of the people in the world do not own a car, yet one-third of Americans own 3 cars. 1 in 7 children worldwide have to go to work each day just to survive. Americans spend more annually on trash bags than nearly half of the world does on goods. We truly are the wealthiest nation on earth, but we are also in debt. Most Americans in 2017 owe something like $16,000 on credit cards. Some people are trying to live above their means to keep up with the Joneses, but most people are just trying to get by. The cost of living in America has outpaced the income growth over the past 13 years. The household income has grown 28%, but the cost of living has gone up 30%, and expenses have increased dramatically. Medical expenses have increased by 57%, and food and beverage prices by 36%. We all know this. People rely upon credit cards now for gas and food and medical bills. Just making more money doesn't solve our debt problems. In fact, sometimes the debt load just increases as the income does. Therefore, your annual interest payments are higher, and higher income people can get higher credit limits more easily, and it just becomes this vicious cycle. So we've got riches, and we've got money problems, and then we've got Jesus. saying, "It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven." And we are those rich people. So what do we do? What I wonder is not how much we have or don't have, but what has us. Not what we hold, but how tightly we hold it. And where is our heart in all of these riches and money troubles? Is our heart full of pride for what we have, or are we grateful to God for everything? Is our heart full of self-sufficiency for what we have earned, or God-sufficiency for what we have been given? What do we do with our riches and our money troubles? How do we trust God to provide for what we need? And how do we learn to tell the difference between a want and a need? You know, Jesus had a lot to say about our attitudes towards money and stuff. Jesus knew that even if we don't love our money, we get pulled in by its power. We have the temptation to see our wants as needs and to keep needing more and more and more and more. And he also knew the stress of having to make it stretch. Jesus was an itinerant preacher with disciples who were relying upon the goodness and the gifts of others to live. Did you know that Jesus actually talked about money and stuff more than any other topic besides the kingdom of God? That means about 1 out of 10 verses in the Gospels have something to do with money and stuff. So if we take Jesus' words about other things seriously, don't we have to take his words about money seriously too? I mean, deep down, don't we all know how money can be that chain around our hearts? Whether we have plenty or whether we feel like we're drowning, money can weigh us down, right? So what if Jesus tells us how to avoid that? What if Jesus has an answer for that problem that we face? What if it all boils down to one word? Give. What if that path to freedom, that way out of temptation, that way to contentment and gratitude is giving? What if giving is God's answer to our money troubles? It makes sense because God is the greatest giver and we are called to follow God. Giving is as old as creation. From the very beginning, God showered all people, all creation, with blessing and goodness and gifts. And then God's people started responding in kind. Abraham gave a tenth of all he had to honor God. Moses and the Israelites were asked by God to bring the first fruits of the harvest to God in the tabernacle. In biblical times, a tenth of whatever one had was expected to be set aside, first thing from the very best, to support God's work and those in need. Jesus spoke a lot about the need to give by saying things like, "Do not store up treasures on earth, but treasures in heaven. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." He said, "From those whom much has been given, much will be required. Be on your guard against greed. Your life does not consist of possessions." And then there are the difficult stories, like Lazarus and the rich man. The rich man and Lazarus. A beggar, he was a beggar outside the palace of this rich man, and the rich man only gave him the crumbs off of the table until later he ends up in hell, begging Lazarus to help him. Or the rich young ruler that we heard about today who wanted to inherit eternal life, and Jesus told him, "Go and sell all you have and follow me." But it meant too much to him, so he just walked away. What if Jesus' answer to the problems of our money is to give? What if his words are not just for rich people? What if his words are not just if we have some to spare? What if his words are not for when we have our finances in order? Jesus once said that a poor widow's 2 little coins given to the temple meant more than all the rich people's offerings put together, because she gave all that she had. It was a sacrifice, an offering to God. What if that's the key? We give, and we don't just give what's left over. We give what's costly because we're not fundraising. We're giving as an offering. Giving is part of worship. Some people have read Jesus' words and heard them and think they are too harsh. Is Jesus just saying we have to give everything away? I don't think so. And Jesus does not say that money is evil. In fact, in the Bible, it does not say that money is the root of all evil. It says it's the love of it. So Jesus condemns our love of money, our trust in money, our reliance on money instead of God. And he says there's a pathway to freedom, and it's giving. I believe that's what he means when he says we need those treasures in heaven. When we think about our own giving, the truth is our need to give is far greater than the church's need to receive. Sure, we should all be responsible in helping the church do God's work, but God doesn't teach stewardship in the Bible to balance budgets. It's about us growing in our faith. We give, and that grows our trust in God. Because we let go of what we have, it means we have to turn to God. And our God is a giver. We are called to be the same. What does giving do? It shows our gratitude. It shows our dependence. Winston Churchill had a very wise saying once. He said, "We make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give." Jesus says the same thing again and again and again. So what kind of life do we want for ourselves? And what kind of life does God want for us? I believe it's a giving life. And how do we avoid storing up treasures on earth? How do we avoid that temptation to love our money? By giving. Jesus says to us today that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Those are some serious hard words, but what does it say right after that? For mortals, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. That's where we get the strength and the power to give, from God. God's the one who opens up our hearts and our wallets. God's the one who shows us the power and the joy of giving. Think about what you have given to God. Think about what you have given to this church. Think about what you have given to people in need. Think about the results of all that giving. We've seen our church greatly updated so that we can welcome people here almost every single day of the week. You give and you support the staff of this church so we can help lead in ministry and mission. You give and you help feed youth every single day after school. You give and you help pay rent for families in need in Owosso. You give and you support teachers and students at Mills Elementary. You give and people receive Meals on Wheels. You give and ministries happen. Ministries of this church, classes, programs, outreach, even things like the Fall Festival today. Today you have a little leaf in your bulletin. And I want you to take your leaf out and look at it. And I want you to think about this. As I tell you what to do with this leaf, think about God asking you in this fall and winter season to turn over a new leaf. On the front of your bulletin is a tree that says time, talent, and treasure. And over the next few weeks, we're talking about our time and talent and treasure. And today, we're talking about our treasure, our money, the dollars that we give and the difference that it makes. So on that leaf, I want you to write down why you give. Why you give to God. What does it mean to you? What does it bring you? How does it change your life? Why do you give? There's a million reasons people have for why they give, but why do you give to God? What does it do in your life? I'm going to literally give you a few minutes to write something down on your leaf. So, start writing. Thank you. These leaves are going to go into the offering plate when it goes by today, and then they're going to make it onto the foyer bulletin board. And I wonder if anybody would like to share what they wrote on their leaf. Anybody got any ideas for why you give? Yes, Dorothy.
Gratitude.
Yes, so many blessings. I put joy. I think it's, we get joy when we give. What else? Anyone else want to share something about giving? Yes, Monica.
I wrote, giving is sharing, and sharing shows love.
That's right. That's right. Yes, Susan.
Peace.
Peace. Yes. It brings peace to give. What else? Well, today I encourage you to drop that into the offering plate. We'll put it out in the foyer, and your reason for giving might be the very thing that inspires someone else to give. So I encourage you to fill that out and drop it into the plate and to give generously to God. Friends, the good news of the gospel today is that our God is a giver, and our God calls us to give. Because the pathway to freedom, to joy, to peace is through giving. And to that, all God's people said, Amen. Awesome. Friends, please stand and let us affirm our faith using the Apostles' Creed on page 35 of your hymnal.